She grabbed my hand, pinky promise, say you swear. Said she love me getting money, baby, stay right there. She was the one. Shorty don't cook, don't clean. If you ask her what's for dinner, she'll know what that means. She say the only thing she gotta make for dinner is the reservation.
Only thing she gotta make for dinner is the reservation.
Hello and welcome to Beanball Podcast Episode 18. I am Jason Wojciechowski coming to you from Beanball Studios in Los Angeles. I'm hoping that tonight features much less of a clicking, buzzing, awful noise. I've adjusted the fan inside my computer and hopefully that is reduced, although I can't hear it really all that well sitting here. And for whatever reason, I don't really hear it on the playback over my speakers when I edit. I tend to only, you know, I only hear it when I put headphones in and listen to it, which I don't really do. I'm not in the habit of necessarily listening to my podcast on, you know, my runs or whatever. So I get informed when other people listen to the podcast on their headphones and they hear loud clicking noises as if, I don't know, as if it's a 1982 cassette tape or something like that. And that's $1 to Alan Torres for that joke that I've stolen from him. Anyway, the A's lost tonight. Today is Wednesday, August 1st, so the A's lost to the Rays, finishing off that three-game series. They lost the last two games by scoring one run over the course of those 18 innings. And that's kind of how we expected the A's to lose their games this year. Feels a little worrisome. It feels like, oh, they were doing so well, and then, you know, now there is this little mini slump, this two games. Is this a signal of what's to come? And I'll be honest, I think it is a signal of what's to come, but only because it's a signal of what this team always was in the first place. And they caught some crazy breaks. You know, they won five games in a row by one run against, you know, the four games of the Yankee series and the game before that leading in against the Rangers. They had, you know, five straight one-run wins. They had the Brandon Moss sort of insanity tour where he hit, you know, 17 home runs in eight games or whatever it was that he did. And, you know, he had the Kevin Moss, the other spelling of Moss, M-A-A-S. You remember Kevin Moss from, I think, 1990 on the Yankees had some absurd run in his first 70 at-bats in the major leagues or something like that. And Moss, our Moss, Brandon Moss, doesn't quite work that way because he has played in the major leagues before. With the Pirates and I believe maybe with the Red Sox, but either way he had a similar kind of home run, and he's not that good a hitter. If he were that good a hitter, he would have been in the major leagues a long time ago. He wouldn't be sort of struggling to break through with a job and signing minor league deals and coming to the A's at 28 years old and only breaking through when Brandon Allen and Keyla Kaahui and Derek Barton all fail. So yeah, when people like Moss stop hitting like that, when Coco Crisp interrupts a hot streak by getting hurt, which is what Coco Crisp does, when Jared Parker, you know, starts to maybe hit a wall a little bit. This is a big major league season for him. This is rookie season. You know, he pitched, I don't remember how many innings, some tiny number of innings with Arizona last year, but he still has rookie status. And even though it's not technically his first year in the big leagues, it's still his rookie year. And it, you know, he may be running into a little bit of trouble as he had some wildness tonight. And he had a post-game quote talking about how batters have started to lay off his changeup and that he's going to have to adjust back. And so all of these things are going to happen, and whether Moss was lucky or whether pitchers have now adjusted to him, and whether we're going to see the same thing from Chris Carter, whether Coco Crisp can ever stay healthy in his life. You know, Josh Reddick is in the midst of a slump. You know, did pitchers finally, after 100 games, adjust to him? Did they figure something out? Is it just purely slump, purely bad luck? Whatever it is, you know, I think on balance what this is going to add up to is the team that we thought this was, which is something like a 470 or 480 winning percentage team, which is not a bad team by any means. It's not, you know, the Astros, who I think I saw are something like 10-44 on the road this year, and the A's are not that bad, but they're also not a wild card team if they play at that level all season. they're in a position now where they are, where if they play at that, if they do play at that 470 or 480 level, depending on how the teams around them do, it'll take them a while to fall back out of contention again, which can mean that they can play these, you know, win four games out of nine kind of situations, which is a 444 winning percentage, but whatever, four games out of nine situations, and, you know, they're not really struggling, but they're not really playing well, and they're certainly not playing like they did in July, but they'll sort of slowly slide out of the race rather than have, like, a massive sort of falling through the floor kind of situation. And, frankly, that's how I see the end of the season going, and I don't see an acquisition of Jimmy Rollins via waiver trade or anything like that helping matters. Rollins might be a marginal upgrade on Cliff Pennington. I mean, he's probably a big upgrade on what Cliff Pennington has done so far this year, but as far as going forward and next year, I don't really see it. I'd rather maybe see Grant Green kind of platoon with Cliff Pennington next year. Not platoon, but, you know, be involved in part of the shortstop solution next year than Jimmy Rollins at an $11 million salary, which is not exorbitant, but for the A's is exorbitant, and it's more than he is worth as a player on some typical sort of dollars per win kind of calculation. And Rollins is just not that good. Now, if you want to talk about an upside play like Steven Drew or Yunel Escobar, then maybe that's a different situation. But that's again, not going to really affect 2012 all that much. Dan Szymborski at ESPN used his Zips projections and looked at the top 10 trades by how much they adjusted the team's playoff odds. Now, his playoff odds are not the same as Baseball Prospectus' playoff odds, but it's the same basic concept that you take a projection and then you run simulations. I assume this is how he's doing it anyway. And the biggest trades, we're talking about 10% moves in playoff odds. You know, the Zach Greinke. Down at number 10, the 10th biggest trade was something like 2 or 3% shift. So when you're looking at August moves, you're not talking about giant shifts in playoff odds. And so if you want to push the A's from a 1/3 chance to a 36% chance, I don't know how much that's worth giving up, either in terms of the blood or treasure. It may not take a lot of blood to get Jimmy Rollins, but it's sure going to take a lot of treasure. The reservation. Only thing she gotta make the dinner is the reservation. That's a rash. Is it real? Can I grab? Can I feel? 'Cause I'm going, if you going, and she going, and we blowing, and we grown, and we drinking. I'm thinking, I try to take it to another place. Said you from the States, but you're mistaken for another race. I'm on my mission.